take it on the chin. Right now we are under a Satanocracy. Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, which is the reason why we saw what went down yesterday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Now they say the death toll is up to 11 at that Jewish synagogue. They were attacked on the Shabbat, on the Sabbath, a deranged anti-Semitic gunman going into the synagogue and yelling, "All Jews must die." And no doubt Satan was right on the side saying, "Yeah, I agree with you. All Jews must die." Why does the world hate Israel so much? Why do they hate the Jewish people so much? I'll tell you why. Because number one, they gave us that book that you're holding in your hand right now. Based on Romans 3:2, God committed the oracles, the scriptures, to the Jewish people. All the authors of the Bible were Jews. And number two, the Jewish people gave you and I Jesus Christ. He is a Jew. Jesus was a full-blooded Jew, a full-blooded Israeli, a rabbi who walked this earth 2,000 years ago, 5,800 miles away in a tiny little land no bigger than the state of New Jersey called the Jewish State of Israel. I remember when Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was standing in front of the United Nothing podium, you know, the UN out there in New York, and he said, you know, "The Arabs accuse us all of time of stealing their land, that we're not the indigenous people to this very land." But let me ask all of you in this chamber a question today. Why do you call us Jews? You know, why do we call the Chinese Chinese? Well, obviously, they're from where? Why do we call the Portuguese Portuguese? They're from Portugal. Why do you call us Jews? Because we're from Judea. We are the indigenous people to Judea. The Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. That's Genesis 49, verse 10. "The scepter shall not depart out of Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come." Now, I know in the West we say Shiloh, but in Israel they say the proper pronunciation is Shiloh. And the rabbis tell us that Shiloh is another name for the Messiah who would come from the tribe of Judah. The writer of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 14, "Our Lord sprang from the tribe of Judah." And then at the second coming back to this earth, at the end of the seven-year period of tribulation, Revelation 5:5, John the Apostle, he's weeping. Why? Because nobody worthy was able to open the seals. And John is weeping and he's crying. And then he hears a voice saying, "Hey, John, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof." One day the Lion from the tribe of Judah is going to roar so loud and the world will take notice. Oh, they're not taking notice right now, but one day they will take notice. Man, I love that song that the choir is sang, you know. "Redemption draweth nigh." Well, by the way, that's out of Luke 21:28. Jesus Christ said that when you see prophecy unfolded in its early stages, not completely fulfilled, opening in its early stages, what does he tell us to do in Luke 21:28? "And when you see these things begin to come to pass," what does he tell us to do? "Look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." What redemption am I talking about? The next main event on God's calendar of events we call the rapture of the church of the living God. You know, we bring up Mark yesterday when we had that opportunity to lead this dear brother to the Lord. Mark, you're ready for one of the greatest events to take place foretold in Scripture, the rapture of the church of the living God. Remember, we made this brief timeline here using this mic, this pulpit, this mic right here. That's the rapture of the church, the next main event on God's calendar of events. Following this event, a seven-year period of tribulation signified by this pulpit. Following that, this mic right here, the second coming, the revelation of Jesus Christ back to this earth. The tribulation period separates the rapture from the second coming. And may I submit to you this morning, I wouldn't want my worst enemy to be left behind at that event, to go through this event, a future seven-year period of tribulation to come. I'm going to act like a lawyer in a court of law here this morning, in this case, the house of God. And I'm going to show you this morning that we are indeed living in the last of the last days. I want to talk about this morning the revival of the Roman Empire. She is alive and well on planet Earth today. And I'm convinced, without a shadow of a doubt, that there is an ungodly entity that fits the bill. And I'm going to tell you exactly, I think I said it last night. I'm just going to say it. I believe the European Union, you've heard of the EU, the European Union fits the bill for a future revived Roman Empire. And out of that future revived Roman Empire will arise, how many fingers? A 10-nation confederacy. And those 10 nations, also described as 10 horns, will give global authority to the little horn of Daniel 7:8. The prince that shall come, Daniel 9:26. The beast, Revelation 13:1. Oh, you better know him in 1 John 2:18 is who? The Antichrist will come out of that 10-nation revived Roman Empire and will have complete and global authority of the entire world until he is put down by the Son of God at this event we call the Second Coming. So you might want to get a pen, paper. I believe they're recording the services as well, so you might want to get a CD. But I need you to listen intently this morning as we look at the revival of the Roman Empire and how God in the future will one day use human government to accomplish his will. So we're going to be in Revelation chapter number 17, as you see on the screen this morning. Revelation chapter 17. While you're turning to Revelation 17, at the end of the service, visit our book table and sign up for our newsletters. They go out every single week. If you want more information about our Bible prophecy tour to Israel, March 24th, April 3rd, 2019, my wife and I will lead an 11-day prophecy tour with one full day in Petra in southern Jordan. Petra will play a major role in Bible prophecy. And of course, obviously, Israel will play a major role in end time Bible prophecy. So if you've never been to Israel, join us next year. See me at the end of the service. I'll tell you exactly what you need to do. And pray for us, because next Sunday I will be in Kentucky. I'll be doing a Bible prophecy conference out there as well. So please keep that in prayer. Revelation chapter 17. And you'll notice with me in verses 16 and 17. Revelation 17, 16 and 17. Let me just give a shout out to our friends Peter and Sue, who came to visit us today. There they are sitting right there. We do appreciate them coming out. We appreciate all of you coming out this morning. Thank you so very much for being a part of this Bible prophecy conference. Revelation 17, 16 and 17. And the word of God says this. Now get your pen out, because I want you to circle something this morning, okay? Circle this. And the, say it loud, folks. I think you might want to circle that today, okay? Because that's going to jump out at you an awful lot. Not just in the New Testament, but you will see as well in the Old Testament. That phrase is going to jump out at you many, many times. So, and the, circle this, 10 horns, which thou sawest upon the beast. Well, that will be the Antichrist, the beast of Revelation 13:1. These shall hate the whore. Now, that's a biblical word, amen? Don't look at me that way. These shall hate the whore. Well, who's the whore? Well, the whore is the false church that will be in cahoots with this beast in the end times. These shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Verse 17, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly gracious Father, once again, thank you for the word of God and Lord for the opportunity to worship you in the Lord's house this Sunday morning. Father, I'm so grateful for Pastor Speroni, his family, this church family, for extending the right hand of fellowship to us, Lord, inviting us to come to stand behind this most sacred desk here this morning at Pasco Community Baptist Church. And Heavenly Father, it is my prayer this morning that the Spirit of God would speak to each and every one of us, dear Lord. Father, would you please help me? I can't do this on my own power, Lord. I'll fail. But Lord, I need your Spirit this morning to dictate what I need to say, to keep me within the perimeters of the Word of God, dear Lord. We don't need drama or hype or sensationalism. All we need this morning, Lord, is the plain sense teaching and preaching from the Word of God. Father, we're so grateful for our brother Mark coming to the Lord last night, dear Father. And Lord, I'm praying this morning that there might be another individual under my voice, Lord, sitting in this pew, and they don't have the hope of going to heaven when they die. Lord, they're either one heartbeat away from going to hell, one trumpet sound away from being left behind at the rapture. I pray, Lord, that that would change this morning, that they would see their need for the Savior, and that they would call upon the name of the Lord and get saved. Be born again through the Spirit of God, that they would be ready for either one or two things, either death or the next main event on God's calendar of events we call the rapture of the church. That could even be today, Lord. And so, Heavenly Father, help me to preach this and fill me with your Spirit as I do so. And we ask now, God, that your will be done. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Looking again in verse 16. In the future, the 10 horns of the revived Roman Empire will give global authority to the Antichrist. But this beast in Revelation 17, 16 will be in partnership, if you will, with the false church. Now, let me tell you this. I also believe that the false church is alive and well on planet Earth today. She sits on a seven-hilled city, and she's been responsible for murdering God's people throughout the ages. But the Bible says that when it's all said and done and the Antichrist has everything that he wants, God will use, out of all people, this beast to destroy the false church. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Why? Verse 17. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. The revived Roman Empire is alive and well on planet Earth today. And God in the future will use these political powers in the upcoming 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, or that future 7-year period of tribulation to come, to carry out his will in fulfilling God's future program for Israel and for the Gentile nations of the world. And we see this played out in Revelation chapter number 17. And we know that God has a future program for the nation of Israel. Make no mistake about that, amen? God has a program for Israel. God has a program for the Gentile nations of the world. But he also has a program for the church. When we read the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel is a future timeline for the Jewish people. Ezekiel, a future timeline for the Jewish people. When we read the book of Daniel, Daniel, a future timeline for the Gentile nations of the world. Daniel, the timeline for the Gentiles. And when we read the book of Revelation, Revelation is a timeline for the church. God has a program for Israel, a program for the Gentile nations, and a program for the church. I said this last night. The church is mentioned 25 times in the book of Revelation, 19 times before Revelation 4:2, before the tribulation period, 6 times after Revelation 19:11, way after the tribulation period. Between those 16 chapters in the book of Revelation, the church is not mentioned once, not once, as being on the earth. Why? Jesus Christ promised in Revelation 3:10 that he would call his bride out of the world before that final week. that final 7-year period to come. I told you this already. I am a pre-tribulationist. Pre means what? Before. Well, there's a rapture. It's before. This mic is before this pulpit. So this event happens before that event. The rapture takes place before the 7-year period of tribulation. Romans 5:9, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. We are not here. You see, either God forgot to put the church in the tribulation period, or we're just simply not here. He promised that he would keep us from the hour of temptation, the tribulation period, to come upon all the world to try not us as believers, but to try who? Them. Who's them? Unbelieving Israel. The unbelieving Gentile nations of the world. To try them who dwell on the earth. So yes, Brother August Rosado stands before you this morning guilty of preaching escapism. Amen? That's biblical escapism. We will escape that coming nightmare that will come upon all the world. That's what Jesus said in Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore, pray ye always, that you may be counted worthy to escape. Escape what? All these things, the 7-year period of tribulation that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. You and I, as the body of Christ, will not see one day of that future 7-year period of tribulation to come. God has a program for Israel. God has a program for the Gentile nations of the world, and God has a program for the church. Again, the book of Ezekiel, timeline for the Jewish people. The book of Daniel, timeline for the Gentiles. The book of Revelation, a timeline for the body of Christ, the timeline for the church. So, as we monitor the global situation in the Middle East and the entire world, we as students of Bible prophecy, ladies and gentlemen, listen, I'm not an expert. Every time I preach at churches, brother, all over the country, the pastor introduces me. Brother Rosado is an expert in Bible prophecy. Listen, I've only been studying this subject for 30 years. I'm no expert. Okay? Like you, I am a student of Bible prophecy. Like your pastor, he is a student of Bible prophecy. We are students of Bible prophecy. I don't know it all from A to Z, but God does. Amen? From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, God is on the throne. God is in control. Amen? Even though this world is spiraling out of control, God is always in control. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has occurred to God? Amen? Nothing catches him by surprise. He is on the throne, and he is in complete control. But we see the early fruition of these prophecies slowly unfolding right before our very eyes. We see political giants, ladies and gentlemen, getting into position. Why do we cover the political? Because the political is setting the stage for the prophetic to be fulfilled. That's the title of my message this morning. The political setting the stage for the prophetic to be fulfilled. That's the reason why we look at the geopolitical activities going on around the world, but especially in the Middle East. You're looking at major players here of Bible prophecy. Let me just point a few of them out to you. For example, Turkey will play a major role in end time Bible prophecy. Turkey is known in biblical times in Ezekiel 38:2, Meshach, Tubal, Ezekiel 38:6, Gomer, and Togarmer. Now, Meshach, Tubal, Gomer, and Togarmer were the sons of Japheth, according to Genesis chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Now, Meshach, Tubal, Gomer, and Togarmer broke away from their father, and they dwelt south of the Caspian and Black Sea. That is where Turkey is today. In Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 1 and 2, it talks about Gog, the personality, and Magog, the location where this personality comes from. Gog is a person, Magog is a location. Magog was also the son of Japheth, Genesis 10, 1 through 3. You can't see it on the map, but he dwelt further north of the Caspian and Black Sea. Do you know who is north of the Caspian and Black Sea today? Exactly. Russia is north of the Caspian and Black Sea today. So we see Russia, we see Turkey, and then we see Daniel chapter number 11 and verse number 40, the king in the north will come up against the Jewish state of Israel. Who is that today? That is modern day Syria on Israel's northeast border, separated by the Golan Heights. I was just there at the Golan Heights, which is a buffer zone between Syria and Israel. Here's another one for you. Jordan, Daniel 11, 41. I want to take you to Jordan on one of my Bible prophecy tours. I want to take you to southern Jordan where Petra is located. Petra will be the hiding place for the Jewish people when they flee from the Antichrist at the midway point of the tribulation period. How do I know it's Petra? I just read my King James Bible. Isaiah 16, 1 and 4, Isaiah 26, 20, Isaiah 63, 1 through 6, Revelation 12, 6, Revelation 12, 14. Petra will indeed be the location. So Jordan will play a major role in Bible prophecy. Psalm 83, Saudi Arabia will play a major role in Bible prophecy when Psalm 83 records an Arab confederacy of nations that will come up against the Jewish state of Israel. Who else can we find? Well, here's another one for you right here. Going east of the state of Israel would be these guys right here. Do I need to say more about those guys? Iran is one of the most deadliest enemies to the existence of the state of Israel because they call for Israel to be wiped out on a daily basis. We need to get rid of Israel. They are described in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse number 5, as Persia. And Persia, in 1936, changed their name to Iran. And Iran simply means the land of the Aryans. Even the Euphrates River is going to play a major role in end time Bible prophecy. Where in Revelation chapter 9, Revelation 16, 12, the Euphrates River is dried up, that the way, you can't see it on the map, but the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. The kings of the east, a 200 million man army, will go over the dried up Euphrates River into the Middle East, bringing death to 1/4 of the world's population, at least 1.5 billion people. So this is the reason why we cover the political, because the political is indeed setting the stage for the prophetic to be fulfilled. And that takes us to Revelation chapter 17, verses 16 and 17. It tells us that God will use out of all people the beast of Revelation 13, 1, the Antichrist, the ruler of the revived Roman Empire, who will one day bring judgment on the false church. And yes, I do believe the false church is alive and well today. By the way, this false church in Revelation 17, she's called a woman 6 times. And she's called a whore 3 times. She's the false church. Back up with me to Revelation 17 and verse number 1. Revelation 17, 1. And the word of God says this in Revelation 17, 1. And there came one of the 7 angels which had the 7 vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of your fornication. In other words, presidents, vice presidents, secretaries of state, prime ministers, world political leaders went to bed with her and made God sick. Not only that, she has murdered God's people throughout the centuries. Look at verse number 6. Drop down to verse number 6. Actually, verse 5 for the sake of time here. Verse 5. Notice the block letters here. Why would God do that in his word? Because he wants us to know what we're dealing with here. Verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. She is the mother harlot who has all her little harlots spread all over the world. Verse 6, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. God said that she has killed my people over the centuries. You know what I'm talking about? Spanish Inquisitions, the pogroms, Holocaust? She was silent during the Holocaust. When Adolf Hitler, who claimed he was a born-again Christian, murdered 6 million Jews. I had a Catholic lady join me on one of my Bible prophecy tours. She got saved on the tour. I took her to Yad Vashem, the Jewish Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. It's huge. It's probably like a two-hour tour in there. If you walk out of there dry-eyed, you're not a human being. And I took my tour group in there. She went into one of the rooms, and then she just yelled out for my name with tears coming down her eyes. Oh, August, what's it coming? So I go over there. I'm like, what's going on? I knew exactly what bothered her. There was a huge illuminated picture there of Adolf Hitler with the highest ranking Islamic cleric in the Middle East back in 1942, Hajj Ahmad al-Husseini. Hitler invited this guy to come to sit down to discuss how we can kill Jews. But that really wasn't the picture that bothered her. There was another picture below that of a large trench filled with Jewish bodies just out of the oven. On one side was a row of Nazis doing this. And on the other side of the trench were a row of Roman Catholic cardinals doing this. She had tears coming down her eyes. And she looked right at me and she said something that I'll never forget, brother. She says, today I'm ashamed to call myself a Roman Catholic. This is not an attack against Roman Catholics. I know of many saved Roman Catholics, amen? But that's exactly what she said to me. She was so upset we had to walk her out of there. When we finally got her to the hotel, my wife and I sat down with her. We shared the gospel with her, and she trusted in Jesus Christ as her personal savior. This woman is drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And John the Apostle said, when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. She is alive and well today. She sits on a seven-hill city in Rome. And the Bible says one day she will be destroyed. And out of all people, God will use the beast of Revelation chapter 17, 16 and 17 to destroy her. And when Jesus returns at his second coming, Jesus will destroy the Antichrist and the false prophet and throw them two into the lake of fire. Again, she is called a woman six times and a whore three times. But please remember, don't confuse this woman with the woman in Revelation chapter 12. The woman in Revelation chapter 12 is referring to the nation of Israel. I know that based on Genesis chapter 37 and verse number 9. Remember, we compare scripture with scripture in order to ascertain information. Amen. The Bible interprets the Bible. It doesn't need your help, and it certainly doesn't need Brother August Rosado's help. Amen. It stands on its own. The woman in Revelation 12 is Israel. The woman here in Revelation 17 is the false church. And again, during the tribulation period, she will be in cahoots with the revived Roman Empire to bring about a global government through this revived Roman Empire, a one-world government, and ladies and gentlemen, a one-world church. Do you remember that dream that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had in Genesis 2? He had a dream of this image, had a head of gold, breast and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron. But when he got to the 10 toes, it was a combination of iron and clay. He wakes up, oh man, what a nightmare. Hey, call all my wise men to my court. I need the interpretation of this dream. So Nebuchadnezzar said, listen, I had a dream. I need you guys to give me the interpretation. And they had no idea what they were talking about. Well, King Nebi, I'll tell you what, you tell us what the dream is. We'll give you the interpretation. Oh, no. You tell me what I dream. Not paying you guys a big bucks. You tell me what I dream, and then you give me the interpretation. Because if you don't, I'll kill you and your families. Well, come on, King. What you're asking is just unreasonable. The Bible says Nebuchadnezzar was livid. He wanted to kill all the wise men in Babylon, including those Jews that came over from the captivity of Jerusalem in 586 B.C. If I don't get the interpretation, I'm going to kill them all, especially those four Jewish boys, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Oh, you better know Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah is who? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, you guys refer to them by their pagan, godless Babylonian names. I like to refer to them by their godly Hebrew names. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So then, you know, Daniel hears word of this. God gives Daniel the interpretation. And then they rush Daniel into the presence of the king. Daniel said, listen, I know what the interpretation of your dream is. See, I'm not giving you the interpretation. God has given me to give it to you. Nebuchadnezzar, you remember that head of gold? Well, that's you, the Babylonian Empire. Really, that's me? Well, I got to be something, aren't I? Well, slow your roll, buddy, because the head of gold will be conquered by the breast and arms of silver, the Medo-Persian Empire. But the bad news for the Medo-Persian Empire, they'll be conquered by the belly and thighs of brass. The Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great. But the bad news for those guys is they'll be conquered by the legs of iron, which would be the Roman Empire. But then in the 5th century AD, the Roman Empire fizzles out of existence. And then that's when we get to the 10 toes. Now John and Daniel sees the revival of the Roman Empire. Daniel calls them 10 toes, and then later on he calls them 10 horns. Remember I told you to circle that? 10 horns. Now, just briefly go with me to Daniel chapter number 7. Get those pens ready. Get those pens ready. Hold your place in Revelation, but go with me to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel is right after that huge book of Ezekiel. Daniel chapter 7. Get those pens out, and here we go. Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 7. Daniel 7 and verse number 7. Notice what the word of God says. Some 50 years after Nebuchadnezzar's dream, we get to Daniel chapter 7, 50 years later. Now Daniel sees a vision of animals, beasts. So what does he see? Well, he sees a lion. In verse 5, he sees a bear. Oh, my. Okay, I digress. All right. Then he sees a leopard. But when he gets to verse 7, he sees an unidentified beast. We don't know what it is. Is it a kangaroo? Is it a hippopotamus? The Bible doesn't tell us. But he sees a lion. That lion would be the head of gold in Daniel 2, the Babylonian Empire. And then in verse number 5, he sees a bear. Who's the bear? It ain't the Russians. Okay, the bear would be the breast and arms of silver, Daniel 2. That would be the Medo-Persian Empire. And by the way, that bear is lopsided, like it's ready to tip over. I love how God does stuff like that in the Word of God, amen. It's a lopsided bear with three ribs in its mouth. Why is that bear lopsided? Because the Medes and the Persians function as one unit, but the Persians were over the Mede, which is why the bear is tipped in favor of the Persian Empire. And the three ribs in its mouth would refer to Egypt, Assyria, and of course Babylon that was conquered by the Medo-Persian Empire. I love how God does stuff like that. You think you can find stuff like that in the Quran? The Book of Mormon? The Hindu Vedas? No, only in the inspired, inerrant, authoritative word of the living God. This book is alive, man, amen? It's a book of prophecy, and you cannot find prophecy in any other book. Then in verse 6, he sees a leopard. That would be the Grecian Empire, the belly and thighs of brass in Daniel 2. But when he gets to verse number 7, he says, hey, what type of animal is this? I don't know. He says in verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before, and it had what? Wait a minute. Were we not just in Revelation 500 years later? I know we're fast forwarding here. 500 years later during the time of John. And what did I tell you the circle in Revelation 17? Now we rewind 500 years before John the Apostle. Here we are in Daniel, 500 years earlier. What is Daniel talking about here? 10 horns. But look at verse 8 and see who comes out of these 10 horns. Look at verse 8. I consider the horns, the 10 horns. And behold, there came up among them another little horn. You know who that little horn is? That's the beast, the ruler of the revived Roman Empire in Revelation 13:1. That's the Antichrist. Before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth that spake great things. This guy is arrogant, he's prideful, and he's blasphemous. He blasphemes God. He's energized by Satan to do so. Drop down to verse number 20 for time. Verse 20. And what does it say? The 10 horns. I told you to circle that, folks. And the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn, the little horn of verse 8, that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. This guy is wicked. He's evil. He's blasphemous. He's energized by the dragon of Revelation 12:3, Satan himself. Drop down to verse 24, and the 10 horns, 10 horns, 10 horns. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and shall be diverse from the first, and shall subdue 3 kings. So we see in Daniel 7, verses 7, 20, 24, he is talking about these 10 horns. Now let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 12, and verse number 3. Again, get those pens ready. Revelation chapter 12, and verse number 3. Notice the first personality of the unholy Trinity. Yes, an unholy Trinity during the tribulation period. Revelation 12, 3, the first personality, verse number 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. That's not the Antichrist. That's not the false prophet. That's Satan himself, the first person of the unholy Trinity. Having 7 heads and what? There it is again. 500 years after Daniel, look what John's talking about here. 10 horns. He says, 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Go with me to Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 1. Look at the second person of the unholy Trinity. The one that is energized by the dragon of Revelation 12, 3. Revelation 13, 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his head, the name of what? Remember what Daniel said? It was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. There it is right there. See, we apply inductive Bible study. We compare scripture with scripture in order to ascertain more information. I'm not giving you hype. I'm not giving you drama. I'm only giving you the plain sense interpretation of Bible prophecy, allowing scripture to interpret scripture. And then when you get to verse 11, it talks about that false prophet. But going back with me again to Revelation 17 and look at verse number 7. Revelation 17, 7. Revelation 17, 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, that's the false church, and the beast, the Antichrist that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. Drop down to verse number 12. And the 10 horns, which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. And in verse 16, and the 10 horns, which thou sawest upon the beast, he shall hate the whore, shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Folks, the revival of the Roman Empire. Again, she is alive and well on planet Earth today. So I did a little dig in, like a detective would do, to try to solve the mystery, if you will. So I went to the website of the European Union. Now notice the date up there. It reads June 20th, 2012. This isn't some prophecy website. This is a secular website for the EU. European Union. What number am I looking at up there? Coinky dink? I don't think so, ladies and gentlemen. 10 countries. For a United States of Europe. In other words, they're saying the 28 member states that are in the European Union right now, I know Britain is about to Brexit out of there. You've heard of Brexit, right? Britain's about to leave the European Union. But even if they do, if they don't, it's no big deal. Right now, there are 28 member states in the European Union. The leaders of the European Union want to divide the EU into 10 regions or 10 divisions. And that's the reason why they're saying 10 countries for a United States of Europe. The number 10, ladies and gentlemen, is not a coincidence. Again, do you think these guys know the Bible? No. The EU is a secular humanistic organization that refers to fundamentalist Christianity as a cult. Well, I decided to go to another website, and this one comes from the Times of Israel. Now, the president of France, Emmanuel Macron, this was only 3 months ago, folks. And I'm going to read the first paragraph right here. Impatient with German foot dragging on defense, French President Emmanuel Macron will bring together, can you see that right there? A what? A 10-nation coalition of the willing next month designed to prepare European armed forces to take action together in emergencies and to bind Britain into military cooperation as it leaves the European Union. So the EU website calls for 10 countries for a United States of Europe. French President Macron says we need to put together a 10-nation coalition of the willing. And yet Daniel chapter 7:20-24, Revelation 12:3, Revelation 13:1, Revelation 17:3-7-12-16, all talk about 10 horns, 10 horns, 10 horns, 10 horns. And yet what are we reading here, folks? From the secular website, a 10-nation coalition of the, in other words, they want to create a global EU armed force, and what they say, to be ready for emergencies, to bind Britain into a military cooperation as it seeks to leave the European Union. Folks, I don't believe that's a coincidence, amen? That's Bible prophecy unfolding right before our very eyes. And what we see by the European Union is an attempt to form a one-world government that goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 11. That's exactly what Nimrod tried to do. God said, be fruitful and do what? Nimrod said, no way, Jose, we're staying right here. We're going to be one people, one government, and even one language, and we don't care what God says. So you, pick up those bricks and bring them over there. And you, get that mortar, and you bring it over there. God said, oh, really? Really? And as they're trying to get that tower up to go all the way up into heaven, the earth is one language at that time, one global universal language. Hey, you, pick up those bricks and go, blah, 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 blah. Hey, Jack, what did he say? I think he said, blah, 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 blah. Now, all of a sudden, nobody can understand the other guy anymore. And they were so terrified that they ran off in different directions, forming their own nations and their own language. Look at all this language barrier we have across the world today. That goes all the way back to Genesis chapter number 11. It doesn't pay to be disobedient to God, because God is always going to have his way. An attempt to form a one-world government going all the way back to the Tower of Babel. By the way, you know what Nimrod's name means? It means, let us revolt. And that's exactly what he did. And 4,000 years later, this is exactly what mankind is doing today. The spirit of Nimrod is alive and well on planet Earth today. So you know what I did? I did some more digging. So I decided to go to the European Union website and check out the main headquarters in Brussels, Belgium, of the EU headquarters. Now, is it me, or did they design that headquarters look like something particular? Okay, well, let's see if we can back up again to Nimrod, artist rendition of Nimrod's Tower of Babel, and then let's go to the headquarters of the European Union in Brussels, Belgium. And folks, it looks to me, Brother Speroni, like Nimrod's Tower of Babel. When you go on the EU website, they say that we're going to pick up where Nimrod left off. We want to see a one world government, and we will be the sole voice for all of the dialects of the world. It was purposely constructed to look like Nimrod's Tower of Babel. No coincidence. But there's one verse I forgot to show you in verse number 3. Would you back up and see that with me? Revelation 17 and verse number 3. I like to save the best for last. Amen. Revelation 17 and verse number 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and what? 10 horns. That's all we see is 10 horns, 10 horns, 10 horns, 10 horns, 10 horns. And then you look at that sculpture in front of the European Union headquarters. And what are we looking at, ladies and gentlemen, on the screen? A woman riding a beast. Now, my question to all of you here this morning is, where in the world did they get that from? Did they just happen to open the book of Revelation, go to chapter 17, verse 3, and say, hey, guys, that's pretty cool. Why don't we make a sculpture of a woman riding the beast? No. These guys are fulfilling Bible prophecy and they don't even know it. How many of you have seen the European Union flag? A blue background with how many stars? 12, not 13, 12 stars. Where do you think they got that number 12 from? Let me read to you. You can go there if you want, but I'll read it quickly. Revelation chapter 12, and verse number 1. Revelation 12, 1. I'll tell you where they got that from. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman. Now, that's not the woman in Revelation 17. This is Israel here. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of... You know why they decided to go with the 12 golden stars for the flag of the European Union? It's because of Vatican influence. Because the Vatican looks at that verse right there, Brother Speroni, and they say, well, we don't think this is Israel. But this is the Virgin Mary with a halo of 12 stars overhead. That's a gross hermeneutic. That is not the proper interpretation. Again, you compare scripture with scripture in order to get the right interpretation. When you read Genesis chapter 37 and verse number 9, clearly the woman is Israel. The sun is Jacob. The moon is Rachel. And the 12 stars would refer to who? Jacob's 12 sons. The 12 tribes of the children of Israel. A little Sunday school kid can figure that one out, amen? But those guys over there in Rome can't. So we know that this is the woman here is Israel. The 12 stars are the 12 tribes of Israel. The European Union decided to go with the 12 stars to put it on their flag because of Roman Catholic influence. So look at this. I mean, that is absolutely mind-boggling right there, ladies and gentlemen. Not only do they have that sculpture in front of the European Union headquarters, it's on their money, it's on coins. I was preaching at an all-black church in Roanoke, Virginia, a few years back, and I was talking about this right here. There was a guy there who was in the Navy, and after the conference, he had to get shipped out to go somewhere in Europe. Well, about maybe 3 weeks later, he calls me. He says, Brother Rosado, give me your mail and address. I got to send you something overnight in the mail. I said, what is it? He goes, you'll find out. I'm going to overnight it to you. All right, man. So I give him my mail and address. The following day, I received this little yellow manila envelope in the mail. I opened it up, and it was a European Union coin. And right on the front of that coin was a woman riding the beast. It's on their monetary system. It's on their postal stamps. It's replete throughout the European Union of women riding the beast. And you and I just read in Revelation 17:3, I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And yet the EU, they want to divide those 28 member states into 10 divisions, 10 regions. French President Macron, we need to put together a 10-nation coalition of the willing. 10, 10, 10, 10. A future revived Roman Empire. And as we race toward the end times, we're in the last days right now, but when the rapture takes place and the church is out of here, and that Antichrist comes on the scene and confirms a 7-year peace covenant with Israel, that will kick off the end times. We're in the last days now, but in the tribulation period will be the end times. But in the last days in which we live, we're going to see unscrupulous, godless individuals make their final push against Israel. Oh, by the way, there are the Three Stooges. Holding hands yet. Mo, Larry, Curry. Well, who's this guy right here? Well, that's Hassan Rouhani. Persia, Ezekiel 38:5, 1936, changed their name to Iran. Calls for Israel to be wiped off the face of the map on a daily basis. The man in the middle is a radical Islamic individual by the name of Tayyip Erdogan, who is the president of the Islamic State of Turkey. Iran, an Islamic state, not Arab, an Islamic state. These guys still speak the Persian language that the Persians spoke during the time of Daniel. They still speak Farsi, the Persian language. Tayyip Erdogan, the president of Turkey, an Islamic state. Turkey, Meshach, Tubal, Gomer, Togarmer, Ezekiel 38:2, Ezekiel 38:6. Iran will attack from the east. Turkey will attack Israel from the north. Should I say much about this guy? the president of Russia, Gog, Magog, Vladimir Putin. All these guys will get together to one day attack the Jewish state of Israel in the Gog-Magog war, Ezekiel 38, 39. But God said, when it's all said and done, Ezekiel 39, 4, God says, your bodies will lie upon the mountains of Israel. When you touch the apple of my eye, my chosen people, God said, I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm not going to tolerate it. These three guys will make their final end time push, if they're even still around, during Daniel's 70th week of prophecy. And then, Revelation chapter 9, 15, that Euphrates River, remember we talked about Euphrates? Is dried up, that the way the kings of the east might be prepared. A 200 million man army. China has a population of 1.45 billion, and that's with a B, as in boy. So they can easily raise up an army of 200 million troops. That's the number the Bible gives us in Revelation 9. And then when we get to Revelation 16, 12, and the Euphrates River was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. China is a sleeping giant. And in the tribulation period, will bring death to 1/4 of the world's population during the trumpet judgments. In the sealed judgments, 1/3 of humanity dies. Revelation 6, 8, 1.5 billion people. The trumpet judgment, 1/4 of humanity dies. Another 1.5 billion people. And then when we get to the sealed judgments, the Bible doesn't give me a number. But I can only imagine the carnage that is going to come with it. You see where I'm getting at, folks? Don't get left behind. Get born again this morning. Trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, like Brother Mark did last night. Don't wait at the last minute. Get saved now. Prophecy is unfolding right before our very eyes. Tomorrow just might be too late. Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, he says, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing nigh. Russia is warning Israel, if you attack Syria again, then we're going to hit you. And so Russia said, in order to defend against Israel, we're going to deliver S-300 to Syria. Again, Syria will play a major role in Bible prophecy as the king of the north on Israel's north border, Daniel chapter 11 and verse number 40. The Gog-Magog war, Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. Daniel 11, 40 through 45, another Arab attack against the Jewish state of Israel. We see Syria attacking on Israel's north border. Egypt will attack, the king of the south. Iraq will come over as well. Turkey will attack from the north. Russia from the far north will all come up against the Jewish state of Israel. And then Psalm 83, an Arab confederacy of nations will attack the Jewish people. But God has other plans, does he not? When it's all said and done, God said in Ezekiel chapter 39 and verse number 2, I will turn you back and leave but a sixth part of you. Cause you to come up from the north part, will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. A sixth? In other words, you ready for this? 5 out of every 6 Arabs are going to be wiped out. And Islam will not even be a factor in the upcoming tribulation period. And that will pave the way for that Gentile ruler from the revived Roman Empire to come on the scene unopposed. Folks, what am I telling you? I believe the stage is set. I believe the actors are getting into position. And the curtain is about to go up on the end time drama. Russia, Turkey, Iran, Libya, Ethiopia, Sudan, Somalia, major players in end time Bible prophecy. Psalm 83, read that on your spare time. Daniel 11, 40 through 45. And every single day on the news, you always hear about the European Union. And now you know, she is indeed the infrastructure or the embryo for a future revived Roman Empire. She is alive and well today. The very ones who will produce that little horn of Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, which, by the way, I believe this little horn is alive and well on planet Earth today. Do I know who he is? No, and I don't care. You know, we got these Christians today that they're more focused on trying to figure out who the Antichrist is than looking for Jesus Christ. The Bible doesn't tell you anywhere in the New Testament to look for the Antichrist. But the Bible tells you to look for who? Jesus Christ, because he is the promise of the church's blessed hope. And he's going to come at this event right here we call the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Jesus said in John 14:1, let not your heart be. Why would he say that? Because you and I will not see one day of that 7-year period of tribulation. And as I said already, if you weren't here the past two nights, no signs precede the rapture. No prophecies have to be fulfilled. The rapture is an imminent event that could happen at any moment, at any time, could even happen this morning. So we don't look for signs, but we are what? In a twinkling of an eye, we're out of here. We are gone. He's going to take us to the Father's house. And if you're born again, there is a mansion with your name written right on it. Amen. Brother Mark, they just put your sign up yesterday on your mansion. Waiting for you, brother. Glory to God. It doesn't get any better than that. But in order for you to get in on that, you got to punch your ticket now. Punch your ticket today. Because if you don't, this might end up happening to you. Brother, give me some good volume here, if you can, okay?
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
Are you ready? Why were those guys left behind, by the way? You're right. They weren't saved. Oh, they knew the Christian logo. They knew the church. They knew how to go through the motions and all that. They had Jesus up here, but he was never down here. He was never down here. Anybody can have a head knowledge of Jesus. That doesn't qualify you to go to heaven. He needs to be here. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What if the rapture was to happen right now and the real trumpet was to sound? Would this auditorium be completely empty, or would you end up like some of those people in the video? Left behind. Don't get left behind.